Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, we're going to continue our journey with St. Paul as he carries out his second missionary journey, which begins in Acts chapter 16. We've already done earlier cities here on his journey, but today we're going to do one that only really occurs in one verse of the Bible. But when you go to visit this town, it has, some very interesting 20th century things there that were very impactful and meaningful to me and to, I think, every other visitor who visits this town. So let's get started to it. The town's name in the Bible is Berea, B as in boy, B-E-R-E-A. The town's name today is Veria, V as in Victor, V-E-R-I-A, I think B-E-R-I-A. Veria or B-E-R-E-A, I'm not sure how they spell it. But in any case, it's the same place, Berea. And as we look at a map of Paul's second missionary journey, just to reorient ourselves, we're reminded of the fact that he traveled on foot through modern-day Turkey, again, hundreds and hundreds, I don't know how many miles, and winds up then being called by God by this vision, this man in Macedonia, in his first steps onto the European continent. He goes to the city of Neapolis, the port of Neapolis, modern-day Kavala, winds up in Philippi, and then over to Thessalonica, and then on to Berea. So that's where he winds up as he continues on his second missionary journey. A reminder of why Paul went where he did in Europe, at least initially, and that is that he was traveling along a long, I think about 800-mile long road, the Via Ignatia, a road that the Romans built primarily to transport their troops. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see the city of Thessalonica, there on this map with a big green dot on it. And the dot just to the left of that one, just to the west of that one, is Berea. And so that's why he went from Thessalonica to Berea, as we'll see momentarily in the scriptures. So let's take a look at the scriptures. Acts chapter 17, verse 10, and Paul is in Thessalonica as verse 10 begins. As soon as it was night, and we'll see if you listen to the Thessalonica podcast, you know what happened there. But the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea, or modern-day Veria. On arriving there, they went into the Jewish synagogue, so that's going to become key. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. And you'll notice, by the way, on Paul's journeys that it often mentions that specifically that Greek women came to believe. And I don't really know why that is. You can write me and we'll speculate about why that is. But I know Luke, in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts, seems to have an affinity for women and always wanting to highlight how God does his work among women as well as men. So we see that, for instance, even from the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, where Luke records a lot of memories of Jesus' mother Mary. As the Gospel begins, records the song of Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, and so forth. On and on it goes throughout the Gospel, where he's highlighting Jesus' work among women. And so maybe that's why. Maybe he has a particular interest in that for some reason. But in any case, Luke seems to highlight that here in the book of Acts. Let's just continue for another verse or two, Acts 17, verse 13. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up, and the believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. So that's the biblical account of what happens there at Berea, very short, but we know that Paul went to the synagogue there. So let's talk about what exists in modern-day Berea. First of all, the Via Ignatia is, you can see it there, only a very, very small piece of it because current roads and current buildings are built on top of it. But there is a spot where you can see my recollection would be about 5 or 10 feet of it. So I don't have a picture of it here. It's if you want to see the Vignesia, you go to places like Philippi and other places like that. In any case, here's what we do see in Berea is a modern day monument there, a modern day just beautiful spot, mosaics there. And the mosaic on the left-hand side of this area, as you're looking at it, is the a depiction of the man in Macedonia appearing to Paul in a dream and calling him over to Macedonia. And then on the right-hand side, you see a depiction of Paul, and he is teaching people there. It looks like the people are in Philippi because it looks like they may be down by a river, but I think actually it's meant to show Paul preaching, of course, to the Bereans. And of course, that's where the modern-day Berean church gets its name from, is this section of scripture, where the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. Boy, to have that memorialized if you're from Thessalonica is kind of sad. But anyway, they were more noble. They searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. And hopefully we are like those Bereans. We search the scriptures daily to see if what Paul is saying is true. Well, where did Paul preach in Berea? He preached in the synagogue. And so if you check this out, there's a spot in Berea where there is a Jewish quarter. And if you're looking on YouTube, this is outside, standing outside the Jewish quarter. And you can see that little tunnel there on the left, right above the guy in the blue shirt, the white hair. Well, there's two guys in blue shirts and white hair, but the one on the left wearing the jeans. But right above his head is a tunnel. You'll see a tunnel there to get inside the Jewish quarter. And this Jewish quarter was built about, I think, the 19th century or so, but likely was the place where the Jewish quarter was back in the day, back in Paul's day. And we'll see in a moment a synagogue inside this Jewish quarter. The significance of this Jewish quarter is it was built in such a way that the houses of the quarter, of the Jewish quarter, formed a wall. So you can see that in the picture. So essentially, there was only a couple of ways in and out of this, and it provided a very secluded, protected place for the Jews of Berea to live. I'll just go through the pictures, the modern day, and then let's actually talk about, well, let's go to a picture. Let's do that. This is a picture inside the Jewish quarter. And the big stone, brown stone building, just to the right of the blue building in this picture, is the Jewish synagogue from the 19th and 20th centuries. And it is also, it's not active as a synagogue today. It's more a museum piece today. And we'll talk about why that is. You might guess why that might be. But anyway, this synagogue, typically synagogues would be built on top of other synagogues. And so I'd say 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, the likelihood that the synagogue that Paul spoke in was underneath this synagogue, was where this synagogue is. But it was destroyed and rebuilt and destroyed and rebuilt. And here it is on the same, likely, same location as it was when Paul was there. So the pretty good indication this is where Paul was. This is the inside, if you're looking on YouTube, the inside of the modern synagogue. It's really a museum piece today. Not really used as a synagogue on a regular basis today. And let's take a moment and talk about why that is. On May 1st, 1943, the Germans showed up, the Nazis showed up, and while the Jewish quarter had been a nice area of safety and protection, it also then served very easily for the Nazis as a way to capture the Jews of Varia. And so in 1943, May 1st, Germans came and locked up some 300 Jews in the synagogue. And for 3 days, they were denied food and water. Some tried to escape through windows, were shot. They were eventually deported first to Thessalonica, modern day Thessaloniki, and then to Auschwitz. And at the start of the war, Varia had a population of about 600 or so Jews, and then there were about 200 more refugees that came to live in the Jewish quarter, so 800 total. Of those 800, it's hard to know exactly, but statistics show at least, almost 500 of those Jews died in the Holocaust, most of them at Auschwitz. 130-some Jews, records would show, escaped deportation by fleeing to the mountains, and some of those returned after the war. But what they found when they returned, of course, like everywhere else, when the Jews returned, they found their homes occupied by other people. They found their possessions gone, and so the great majority left Berea, Berea, and moved to either Thessaloniki or Israel. And what we learned when we were there is that today there are two known Jews living in Berea. That community has been, parts of that community, some of those homes have been rebuilt. Others are kind of almost falling over, but rebuilt, and they're kind of Airbnb type places, little small boutique hotels there that people can go and stay there. But I would say it was very sobering to visit. I've never had a chance to visit these different places like Auschwitz or Bergen-Belsen or those kind of places. So this was really my first opportunity to be in a place where the Nazis did their evil work. And it just felt, I don't know, the feeling cold. It felt incredibly sad to be in a place where human beings could do such horrible, horrible things to other human beings. And of course, that was multiplied on a scale, just incredible, unbelievably horrible scale throughout Europe, as the Nazis did their evil and carried out the work of Satan there in throughout Europe. So anyway, that's what really is memorable about Berea. As you go and see Berea, there's not a lot of first century ruins there to go and visit or that sort of thing. But there is this place where likely the synagogue was, where Paul preached, and where the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. And they examined the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. And so I hope that we Lutherans, or whatever denomination you are as you listen to this, that we can be like those in Berea, that we can be people who value God's word. That's what the Reformation was all about, in part, at least, because that's in the Word of God is where Luther found out about Christ and about grace and faith alone and grace alone, Christ alone, and all of that. He found that in the Scriptures. And so we want to be like those in Berea and examine the Scriptures daily to see if what your pastor is saying on a Sunday morning or in a podcast or in a Bible class is true. To see if what I'm saying is true. We always want to examine what the preacher is talking about, what the teacher is talking about against the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are without error. They are God's word, and they are the source of our truth. So we want to be like those in Berea. Well, I hope that was encouraging to you to hear a little bit about not only ancient Berea, but modern day Berea. Quite a sad story, actually, about modern Berea, Berea, but nevertheless, that's the story. I want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts about the podcast or other places you'd like us to visit, other things you'd like to know about, questions you might have. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today and being part of this ministry.